The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the prophecy of Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him. Say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who see the hearts and the minds, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle comes from Paul's letter to the church of Rome, the 6th chapter. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are under law and not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I imagine you may have heard this one before. If I go through a section of mugs in a Goodwill, maybe I've even seen this on a couple of mugs, a couple of leftovers. I've received a couple of mugs with that one, actually. It's a pretty great verse. It's a wonderful verse. It's not just good for, Lutheran theology. It's great for Christian understanding. We have this free gift of God in Christ Jesus. This free gift that is life. This free gift that is salvation. We hear about sanctification, even being made holy in this life. All of this is a gift from God. It's something that we don't deserve, something that we shouldn't receive. Now, having that understanding, knowing that we are saved by Jesus, knowing it is a free gift of God, we're going to talk about some decisions today, which sounds very not Lutheran theology. Talking about making choices. As those who are saved, as those who know Jesus has already paid for their sins, already done all that we need, we now have decisions to make. Once again, we have a wonderful picture. In case I still sometimes get credit for these. I never choose them. It's always Christina. Thank you, Christina. I appreciate this image here. We have someone who knows the cross and sees it over there on the right, and knows darkness and sees it over there on the left. If only every decision we ever had to make in life were that easy. I have this decision over here. Well, it says Jesus at the end and there's light. I have this other decision, which really sounds nice, but there's only dark and storm clouds, but well, let's just go see what it looks like. Yeah. I love in Proverbs, right, we hear as a father speaking to his son, don't even set one foot on the path that would lead to folly. Don't even start going that direction. As soon as you do, it's a slippery slope. It's very difficult. It will lead you further and further astray. That's the Pastor Brubaker translation, anyway, of a large chunk of Proverbs. But don't even set foot on that path that would lead to death and destruction. Here in Romans chapter 6, as we continue working through the book of Romans, we get Paul laying out this understanding that we who have already been called children, and we've talked about adoption and talked about how our original sin has been paid for, and we're given this new family, and Christ is this new firstborn, whereas Adam the firstborn had been the bringer of sin. The true firstborn of us all, Jesus Christ, is the one to bring us life. He now moves into, in chapter 6, what that looks like on a daily basis for those who know that they have been given salvation in Jesus. He begins, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." Sin is in us. Sin is still there, and we are to not let it reign so that we should not obey its passions. We have our own sinful nature daily clawing at us, trying to direct us in ways that sure sound nice sometimes, sure sound exciting, but we don't want to let it lead us astray. And he continues, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness." Now that word instrument, you know, you might think of maybe what you see over here on the side. You have of our sanctuary, you might see guitars and drums. No saxophones yet. I've been telling Linda, I don't know that, you know, liturgical saxophone is in my future. But you might think of instruments that way. You might think of instruments as a doctor would use, right? Small instruments to do precision work, cutting here and there, prodding this and that. That word instruments in Greek is hopla. The hopla, you might maybe hear hoplites in there if you have like some history background. It's weapons, weaponry. Do not present your members to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. These are not small instruments. These are not playful instruments. Do not present your members as weaponry for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Present your members to God as weapons for righteousness. Well, that sounds like a rough part of our Christian history and heritage. Rather, picture like wearing the armor of God. Present your members, present yourself as weaponry to fight off sin, death, and the devil. You have in you not just a sinful nature, but you have the very light of Christ. Don't use your members as weaponry to go kill and destroy and bring sin and death into this world. Rather, present yourselves to God that he might use your members to fight off sin, to fight off death, that he might bring life instead. All of a sudden, Romans 6 sounds a little more intense already. Bring yourself and present yourselves to God as weapons. You have this decision to make, and it's not just for you. Are you going to decide to follow your sinful nature or follow Christ who is in you and is far greater? You're going to be used for something, either used by sin to bring more death into the world or used by Christ to bring more life into the world. God's will is at work in us, even when we choose poorly. God can still do great things, even through fallible weaponry. But as those who know Christ, those who have been brought out of death into life and know what is far greater than sin could ever give, present yourselves to God and let him use you as his tools of war against sin and the devil. It's always fun to picture what that imagery of we as Christians looks like. You know, I've called you sheep before. I've called you children many times. Today I get to call you weaponry. It's a good day for Father's Day. Not half bad. You are one of God's greatest tools and weapons, one of his greatest instruments against the devil, against your own sinful nature, in fact. This is not a decision about how to save ourselves. We know Jesus has done that. We've already been taken out of death into life. But as those who life reigns inside of, present yourself to God that he might use you to further battle death and the devil. He continues in verse 14, "You do this, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." You may recall before he talked about how law brings death and brings a knowledge of sinfulness. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. If you are someone who is saved by grace and knows that you can be saved, you've heard him make this argument before. Should we just sin then? I mean, why not? The law doesn't have hold over us. I can do whatever I want because I've got Jesus. Hey. No, don't do this. If it wasn't helpful imagery enough to talk about you being a weapon for either sin or for good and for life, let's take a different look, a different analogy, a different picture of what this looks like. Do you not know, this is verse 16, that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Now, it's a much more comfortable analogy to talk about you as being weaponry, especially here in America, given our history. It's much more awkward to talk about us being slaves, either slaves of sin or slaves of obedience. Now, that word, slaves, you get two Greek words today. Aren't you so blessed? That word is doulos. Doulos, you can have it translated as either servant or as slave. And in different ways and in different settings, perhaps they use it different ways. It's the same word, though. The word doulos, this servant, this slave, is different than 1700s, 1800s America. It is a different word. It's a different functional individual. A servant who has dedicated their life to something could be called a slave. You are a slave to the thing you dedicate yourself to. Remember, you can present yourself as a weapon. So if I'm presenting myself to either sin and the devil or to God and to life, I am now a servant or a slave to that thing, to that individual, to that idea. So do not present yourselves as a slave to death and sin, but instead as one to obedience and righteousness. Now again, I told you this word is different, right? This doulos can present themselves. It is not something that is just done to you. You who have already been saved by Jesus Christ, you are now on this path where you daily get to make decisions. And as one who is doing that, are you presenting yourself and being a slave to sin? Or are you going to present yourself to God and be a slave to righteousness and to obedience? Now, what's wonderful is if you see that picture behind me, when you present yourself as a slave to obedience and to righteousness, it's not meaning, well, I guess I'll follow God and be obedient so that I might become righteous. You are presenting yourself to the one who has been obedient, the one who makes you righteous. Not saying, I want to be a slave that then has to follow the law. No, you're a slave, a servant to the one who has followed the law perfectly in your place. Remember that verse that grounds this whole idea. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. To present yourself as a slave or as a servant, as a doulos to that path that would lead to darkness, means that you will be earning a wage. You will be earning that which sin gives. Every day you draw closer to receiving that great big payout of death and separation from God. Rather, you who know Christ, be a slave to the one who makes you righteous. Be a servant of the one who was perfectly obedient. Be a doulos who receives a free gift, not a wage that you earn, but a wage that was earned for you, that it could be given to you freely. all you who know Christ, all you who are already weaponry, follow the one who has saved you and gives you a free gift, the gift of knowing that no matter how you would use yourself, no matter how many times you choose the wrong path here and there, you have a Savior. You have one who says, follow me, pick up my yoke, carry your cross, be my disciple. And as we follow him, looking at the cross, we know that all those times when we would stumble and fall and make poor decisions, we have a Savior who has said, I've already earned for you what you really need. You are righteous. You are holy. And I will keep working on you until I call you to heaven, continuing to refine you, continuing to sharpen you, use you for great and wonderful things, to bring glory to God, to bring light to the world, to fend off sin which would lead others to death. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Thanks, Paul. I have many limitations. I'm very appreciative that he included that verse to remind me. Just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you are a doulos, it does lead you down a path of sanctification. It is that sharpening of steel, that refiner's fire that we hear throughout the Bible time and time again. Follow the one who has given you life, and he will continue to work on you, making you a more honed instrument for his purpose. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of that path, you don't have to follow righteousness. You don't have to be worked on and honed and refined. Most people don't like pruning of themselves. Most people don't like it when God corrects us always. But we know where that leads ultimately. Now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, douloi of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. He's going to continue driving this home all Romans long. We'll see it again and again. There is a very real thing that will happen at the end of every person's life. Today we hear that they will either earn a wage for themselves, which is death, or they will receive this gift of God, which is life in Christ Jesus. That gift is a wonderful one that we get to have. May you continue to appropriately use the right version of decision theology. Know that you are saved. Know that you are loved. Know that God will use you to do great things. And may the peace of that truth and understanding in Jesus Christ continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our God. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks.